Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Muruti Maluleke, dumela.
Hey, Mr. Zamamalote, dumela lwena.
How are you doing this afternoon, Mfundisi?
I'm good, and you?
I'm fine. By the way, I forget to ask, are you still based in the Western Cape?
I was in the Northern Cape in Kimberley, but I'm back in Pretoria.
Oh, you're back in Pretoria. I must catch up, man. I haven't seen you in ages, actually.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about that change of, teams, maybe from Sundowns to other better teams, et cetera, et cetera. But not for today.
Yeah.
All right, teasing
definitely
you.
Definitely not for today.
All right, Pastor, we continue with discussing... the sin issue, the subject that we're discussing. And of course, yesterday we started with the discussion, and we ended where we wanted to find out the whole thing, really. You know, where are the origins of this? Where's this thing coming from? I mean, we are now sitting with a problem, and today we're discussing this issue, but it'd be a happy land.
Yeah, it's a mystery, and yeah, I think the Bible also calls it a mystery, because everything that God has created was created perfect. You know, in heaven everything was perfect, and even when he created the earth, you know, on the first day he would say it was good, and then after creating everything on the seventh day, he was satisfied, and he said it was very good. So it's a mystery. But Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 gives us a clue. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So that we see that, you know, I is repeated five times here.
Yeah.
So self-exaltation, self-centeredness, self-promotion, self-indulgence, pride, basically, is the root cause. And this is a mystery. We call it the mystery of iniquity, because God created everything perfect. Where did it come from? That a created being will want to be like the creator.
Yeah.
You know, it's not wrong to want to be like the creator if you want to be loving like God is loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be to self-sacrifice and be helpful and be godly. But now this one seems to want the power of God. And we get some of the clue in Ezekiel chapter 28 from 12 to 15. Should I read all of it? It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him." So the king of Tyre here personifies Satan, because Satan rules kingdoms. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, he will be called the prince of Persia. And so it says here, "Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." So he was perfect intellectually and also physically. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald, and with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." So every kind of luxury, was afforded him. There was nothing that he needed to complain about, that
yeah,
God is not giving me this or that, and others are enjoying the benefits of being in heaven, but I am disadvantaged. There was nothing like that. He was given all the benefits. And it continues in verse 14, "You were anointed." You were the anointed cherub. That's Hebrew. "Who covers? I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones." You know, walking back and forth actually is symbolic of the power that God had delegated to him. He was not disadvantaged. He was not lacking. He was even given dominion in as far as a created being is concerned. So all the other angels were subject to him. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Mm. So it is still a mystery how a created being wants to the prerogatives of the creator.
Now, it's amazing that we have this thing and it's mysterious. And of course, I mean, in such a perfect place as heaven, and yet, this thing happens. And you know, when God created all his creation, I mean, I'm not talking about how when he created angels and stuff like that. I don't think we have got a record of how he created angels, etc., etc. But I think we can extrapolate on when he created, the heavens and the earth, especially when he created within the 6 days of creation. Every time he finished, it says, and the Lord saw that it was good. So he saw everything to its perfect goodness. Now, does it mean that this Lucifer character was defective?
No. What it means, the Bible is clear that he was created perfect. You know, the other verse 12 of Ezekiel 28, you were the seal of perfection. So perfection does not have defects.
I see.
In this instance, he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, but he was a free moral agent because God wanted his created beings to worship willingly, cheerfully, out of love, not being forced or not being automated so that the worship is automatic, as if they were toys. You know, God wanted a willing and cheerful obedience out of love. So there was no defect in his character. He was perfect, but he made a choice because God made all angels and all human beings free moral agents with the freedom to choose, with the power of choice. But that power of choice comes with consequences if we choose what God has not put on our path that we should walk on. There are consequences to that. And unfortunately, Lucifer, before he became Satan, before he became the serpent, Lucifer simply means the bearer of light, with all the privileges that he enjoyed, with all the benefits, he still wanted more. And when it was explained to him that he cannot get more, he is not on the same level as Christ. You know, the word that was in the beginning with God, and that word was God, and that word that became flesh, he is not on the same level as that. He could not understand. And then he chose. Full of wisdom means he did not lack intellectually. He calculated the consequences of his choice, the cost of it all. And he decided that I am going to rebel. I'm going to start the great controversy, a conflict against my creator. So he did all this with all the wisdom that God had given to him. And it was not taken from him, even after the fall.
Now, do you think God foresaw all of this? Because, I mean, I'm trying to think, if God really and truly foresaw all of this and it was going to end up in a mess that it is today, I surely would not have continued with this whole thing. Do you think he foresaw it?
I think he foresaw it because he's omniscient, and that is why the book of Revelation will call Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, because it not only foresee sin in Lucifer, but also in Adam and Eve, and already the plan of redemption was hatched even for the human race. So I think God knew that because he's creating free moral agents who have the power of choice. They are not automated. So there is that possibility of sin. And so it was not a surprise to God, although it's a mystery how it came about, because he was created perfect. His orientation should have been towards to worship God and to please God. I mean, the environment was conducive to actually perpetuating the law of God, which is the law of love. basically. But because we are free moral agents, God foresaw it, but he couldn't stop it because he did not want automated beings. He took a risk out of love, if I may put it that way.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, when this whole thing happened, was there an initial penalty or it was just gloves are off and let's go for it?
Yeah, I hope that you in your show you allow me to to quote from the spirit of prophecy.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm paraphrasing the quote, but as I was reading the chapter that says why was sin permitted, it insinuates that
Pastor, while you are continuing, just give us the credit of that book, etc. There are many people may be listening.
Eternity Past, from Eternity Past.
And who's the writer of the book?
Ellen G. White. It's the same book that has the contents, Patriarchs and Prophets.
Okay.
You know, the first chapter.
Okay.
Why was sin permitted?
Okay.
When he began with the discord and the dissatisfaction in heaven, he was cancelled. Shown why Christ was given his position and why he could not have the same position and privileges and entitlement as Christ, because Christ is one with God, a creator with God. He was a created being, and therefore there's a huge dichotomy there. But he still was dissatisfied and he saw discontent in heaven, but he was called, shown why the order of heaven and the law of God should be sustained and everything should be sustained as it was. And as I read the chapter, it goes on to say, if he had heeded the counsel that was given to him, he would have been reinstated in his position. It suggests, or I drew an inference, that because he was the leader in heaven of the angels, when he started sowing discord, he may have been temporarily suspended or demoted from the position. Because when you say reinstated, you suggest that, yes, there was a suspension or a demotion temporarily in heaven. So I would say that demotion or suspension would have been the initial, punishment is a harsh word. But an initial way of dealing with the situation, because even in our government today, as soon as the Speaker of Parliament was charged by the SAPS, she resigned from her position. And even if she had not resigned, she was probably going to be suspended. So you don't continue in a position when there is a high when there is a serious charge against you. So his dissatisfaction probably led him to be suspended or to be temporarily demoted up until he would maybe openly show allegiance and loyalty to God and Christ, his creator, which he did not do.
Now, this guy, it said that he literally was chased out with, a third of the angels. Now, these guys who are a third, when he was rebelling, we understand that they were also rebelling, together with him. Now, would they be looked at with the same sinfulness as he was, or are they looked at as victims of his deceit?
Okay. Please repeat the question.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about the fallen angels, because he was chucked out with the third of the angels over there. And, would God look at them with the same level of sinfulness, these angels, as Lucifer was, or he would look at them and say, shame. No, Laba, they were deceived, shame, but yeah, they must just go out anyways.
Yes, I think, I will not want to put myself in the position of God as judge and to determine the level of guilt, but yes, Satan is the chief instigator. And he used deception. He used the position that God had given him. He used the privileges of wisdom and the beauty that God had given to him. You know, he did not come out openly as someone who was opposed to God. He came as someone who wanted to improve the conditions of everyone in heaven. You know, subtly insinuating that God was a dictator and probably egotistic and self-centered, but he wanted them to have freedom and to, under, you know, his improvement, their conditions would be better and they would have more benefits and privileges and freedom. And so, it came subtly. So I would say they were deceived, but they also, when God canceled Lucifer, they also had a chance to make a choice, just like the rest, the 67% made a choice to be, you know, to stick with God. So they made a choice because they are also intelligent human beings. They are not robots. So I would say Satan is the chief instigator, but they are also guilty because they know. And that's why, you know, when you read many stories in the New Testament where people were demon-possessed, when Christ came, they will say, we know you. We know you. You are the Son of the Most High God, the Holy One. So they knew. They knew him when he came on earth. They made a conscious choice. So I will not be God and say who is more guilty. I think Satan is the most guilty because he's the chief instigator of sin in heaven. He deceived them, but they willingly went along with that deception, and God unmasked the deception, and they still made a choice. Elohim.
Yeah. Now it says that he was cast down to earth.
Yes.
And I'm a little worried about that statement because, I mean, the inhabitants of the earth, of course, were at a huge disadvantage because, they now had to sit with this deception as well. So he was cast down to the planet Earth, according to what we read in the scripture. I mean, why not throw him elsewhere? I mean, of course, when God created, it says that the earth was void, there was nothing there. Couldn't he have been thrown to nothingness? I mean, why earth?
Okay, Revelation 12, yeah, because of the limitations of our time, we could go deep and, explain all of it. But there's a portion where is the war in heaven in the beginning. Fine, he was also cast out then. And, we believe in other unfallen worlds that God did not only create the planet Earth, but there are other unfallen worlds. And Earth is not the only place he came. Maybe Earth, in this case, it could mean universe. He went to the other unfallen world, but he only succeeded on Earth with Adam. And that's why I'm saying we probably would need more time, because when you go to the book of Job, chapter 1, the sons of God, go to a meeting with God. And Satan is also there because he purports to be representing Earth now, this planet Earth, where Adam was supposed to be representing us as the son of God. Now, it means there are other unfallen worlds where the Adams of those worlds, the sons of God in those worlds, were not successfully tempted.
But how do we know that he went to tempt those other sons of God?
That's why I'm saying we are limited in the sense that now the Bible does not give all of the light that sometimes we get from the spirit of prophecy, and also where it says Earth, does it mean only planet Earth, or could it also mean the whole universe? All those limitations. But I wanted to say, in the book of Job, he seems to be still having access to heaven and having a conversation with God, because he's there with all the other sons of God. And that's where God says, have you seen my, he starts by saying, where do you come from? And he says, I'm come from walking to and fro from the earth, meaning That's my territory. That's where I control.
Mm.
And God says, have you seen my servant Job? But I also, so he still has access to heaven up until then. But when you get to Revelation chapter 10, 12 again, now, from verse 10 to 12, can I, let me see if I can get it quickly.
Okay,
Revelation, chapter 12. Now, that is talking about the cross, where it begins now to talk about the lamb, the blood of the lamb. Yeah, it's dark, a little bit dark where I am.
Okay.
Let me try to get Revelation chapter 12 and read from verse 10. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.
Mm.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, after the cross, when Jesus said it is finished, the character of Lucifer or Satan now has been unmasked to the unfallen world and to the angels that have not fallen.
Mm.
So when Jesus says it is finished, even his access to heaven is finished. And now he is cast down for good. He does no longer have that access that he had in Job chapter 1. He's cast down for good. Now he's not going to the all other unfallen world.
Mm.
His focus is here on earth, because he knows that he has but a short time, so that he can tempt and deceive as many as possible here on earth. And that's why I said, because we are talking about the subject of sin, the great controversy, too many things at the same time, I'm not sure if I'm able within this short space of time to make sense to when he still had access and when he was cast down. But the casting down in Revelation 12 is first when he started a war. He was cast out, but he still had access, as attested to by Job chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
But after the fall, after the cross, there was no more access for him in heaven. And his efforts are now concentrated here on earth, because he has failed already for so many years in all the other unfallen worlds. So he is now focused and concentrated here on earth to take as many people as possible with him. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it does. Now, Fulisi, as we wrap this afternoon, but this thing came, of course, it came down here on earth and, of course, tempted mankind, and mankind fell for it. But shame, poor nature didn't do anything. And yet this thing has been passed down to the entire nature, talking about animals who didn't disobey, talking about nature, who didn't disobey. Why was everything touched with the ugliness of sin?
Yeah, and this also, I would need more time to explain, because, but I could simply quickly go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, to show you that when God made a covenant with Noah now, Genesis chapter 9 is a recreation.
Yeah.
Noah is the new Adam. And I could go into all the theology about comparing Adam and Noah. Now, Noah is the new Adam.
Yeah.
That's why Adam, God would say, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He would say that also to Noah.
Mm.
And how Adam ate from the fruit of the tree and then he found himself naked. And then Noah drank from the fruit of the vine and he found himself naked and ashamed. So I don't have time to go into that theology, but when God renews the covenant, now this is the first time that the word covenant appears in the Bible. It appears with Noah. It has not appeared with Adam, but, several verses would show that the covenant was there also in the beginning. Genesis chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. I want to show you that the covenant was not only with Noah, but it was also with other creatures. It says, verse 9, This is chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, verse 9. And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Verse 10, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Okay, so the covenant with Noah is not only with human beings, but it's also with nature. And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 19 and 20, you know, God says, I will not change my covenant with David, my servant. Because if I were to do that, I would have to change my covenant with day and night. So even with the day and night, you know, the 24-hour period, God created a covenant with his nature. So that when Adam now began to rebel against God, nature also began to rebel against him. And I like the language used in Hosea chapter 4. That's why I said I'm rushing. There are so many things.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this, Pastor. Let's park this one because I see that you are rushing it and it's unfair for me to actually expect you to actually thoroughly deal with it. So tomorrow when we connect with you, I think we will start there.
Yeah, but let me conclude by saying Hosea chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3. That's where people have lost the knowledge of God and God is complaining, my people perish for lack of knowledge. When we lose the knowledge of God and we do not follow his law, we start lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery and doing all these other things. You will see that in verse 3, nature also follows all the things, the birds of the air, the fowls, you know, of the air, every creeping thing. And the ground itself, they begin also to suffer. So when the covenant with God and the relationship with God is broken, nature also follows.
All right.
And I could go on to Romans, but yeah, yes, I said we will do justice to it maybe.
I think let's do that tomorrow. Yeah, let's do that tomorrow. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. I think we're completely out of time, but I do want to appreciate your time here on Maranatha Drive this afternoon. Blessings to you and your family. Let's connect tomorrow.
Thank you very much and all the listeners as well.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.